In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, 7:05. Welcome back to Ford Tough Studio. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Gio. The guys will be back on Tuesday after their week off and the long holiday weekend. We will have a Football Friday for you next week, and also the return of Cool Games at 5:25 on Friday morning with me and Al. So all of that's still coming up. The Mets shoved it in our face yesterday, and I'm happy that they did so. A good win in Arizona yesterday. And what struck me most about this, and I'm not going to sit here and lie. I mean, I did not see this game, unfortunately. I usually go back and watch them. This was mostly highlights in this case for me. But a couple of things really did stand out in terms of the mentality of the team. Number one, Alonso gets them off to a good start with the home run. I know Peterson gives up the homer to Grichuk, and all of a sudden they're down. But this is when you sit there and say, you can't quit on this team. And I know yesterday I kind of lowered my expectations a little bit after the way they lost. And I talk a lot about the game in San Diego.
Yeah, we try to highlight their grittiness and resilience, but then it was spoiled by the way Diaz played in the last, you know. This.
Yes, 100%. Exactly
right.
It was
right. Just like, it was like a womp, 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 womp.
That's a very good way to put it. It was like the air out of the balloon.
Exactly what it was.
And you're right. And so when Lindor goes up down 2-1, and CeeLo referenced it when he was in here a little bit, it's not just that he hit the home run to get the game tied. It was that he was down in the count. He fouled off. CeeLo said 5. I thought it was 6 pitches. Doesn't matter. He fouls off a bunch of pitches to stay in the at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then just drills a fastball. I think it was a fastball that's kind of up and in, and he just turns on it and clobbers it. But what got me more about the at-bat is the reaction. And
from the dugout.
No, his reaction first. Okay. The dugout, yes, 100%.
It was bonkers.
Went crazy.
Those guys jumped out of their seats.
But look at Lindor right there.
Yes.
And it's a little thing, but it was almost as if he turned to the dugout and was like,
come on!
Let's bleep and go, let's go get this thing. Yeah, that's right. You've got Peterson pitching wonderfully. The look in his face was, and it was determination. And he's had a great season after April. I mean, really, like an MVP season. I know he's not going to win it. Otani will win it. But he's right in the conversation. And then when you see the guys that win the game or get the go-ahead hits, Winker with the double, They sub him out for Taylor, and then Iglesias with the base hit. And then the reaction from Iglesias, and then I'm not sure if you saw it on TV or not or just in the highlights, but then you see Winker in the dugout losing his mind. Like, this team gives a crap, and I know they all want to make the postseason, but it really seems like it means more to them.
Well, I think you said it. You hit it right on the head. They give a crap, and that's because I think it's been a call and response. You go into this series expecting them to win at least 2 out of the one. They lose 2, and they get this one last night. And I think listening and watching all the headlines, there's this perception as here goes the Mets doing what the Mets do. Get you all up, and then they kind of wash away. But I think, and I said this earlier, not to be redundant, it starts with Pete Alonso. It's a call and response. When he's able to, I think, in the second inning, knock that. He almost had 2, by the way. Yeah, Jack McCarthy robbed him for the second one. But when he's able to do that, and Lindor is able to kind of step up in those moments, how can you not be like, all right, we're not cursed. We talked about curse yesterday, right? Like, we're not cursed. We actually can get it done when we play consistent and we show a little resilience and we finish the game. When you have Diaz at the end able to do what he does, then you're saying, okay, there's some, we're not cursed in the sense that we can get up and get down and rally. So I'm looking at it from this standpoint. It is a win they need it. They go into the series against the White Sox that they have to dominate because the Braves are going to do what the Braves continue to do. And what did they, 28 games left?
About that, yeah.
Yeah,
about
so that. they gotta keep their foot on their necks.
So a couple things there, the up and down nature of what we do. And, you know, yesterday I was definitely down on them a little bit, and it wasn't them as a team. It was, and I'll say it as I've said it numerous times, if Edwin Diaz doesn't pitch like a great closer, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win a lot of games. Part of them winning yesterday, you know, because if he goes out there and blows the lead again, it wasn't the team. The team put themselves in position to win in the ninth inning yesterday.
Like they did yesterday. Yeah.
Correct, like they did on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He locked it down. He looked like a different guy yesterday. And what could have been a 4-3 loss turns out to be a 3-2 win, and you feel good about them.
You said something during the break that I thought was poignant. He didn't run from after the bad performance. Mm-hmm. And I think some guys, when you look at the way the team fought back, especially yesterday in particular, they fought their way back into the game. They was actually ahead. They get him out there. He walks two and gives up the big home run. It shows a level of, I think, if I was his teammate, this kid has heart. He has grit. He's not gonna hide, because at the end of that game, it was all fingers at him.
Like, had to be, yeah.
You're the reason why we lost this game. He didn't do that. He showed back up and responded. He could have easily went to Mendoza and be like, hey man, you know my mechanics ain't right. I don't have the command. My fastball's not working. Let's pull me back and let's regroup in Chicago. He didn't do that. He's like, give me the ball again. Let's go get it. I love guys like that.
Show some stones.
Those guys I want to play with because they're not afraid of the moment.
Now, on paper, you would think Mets going to Chicago against a horrific White Sox team and the Braves dealing with the Phillies. Phillies actually won last night. You would think that the Mets have an opportunity here to actually continue to make up some ground, but this is why they play the games. And I know everyone's going to sit there and say they got to go sweep. They got to go. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that is when you look now.
But you can't have, that shouldn't be a loose expectation the way they performed. Because even with the loss.
What do you mean a loose expectation?
Well, meaning this. Diaz lost the other one, right?
Yeah.
Right. But they rallied and bounced back, right? And they won, yes, last night. The expectation after you just mentioned is to sweep this team and let's move on to September. Like, we shouldn't be like, well, we know they play down to their competition, so let's tread lightly. No, you put it on tape. We know what you're capable of.
I guess what I mean by that is if I'm the guys in that locker room, I can't get caught up in going into this series, we got to win all three games.
I disagree. I'm pounding that drum. We have to win all three because of what the Braves are doing.
But here's the yes, except for the fact that I need them to go out there, and this comes back to the whole it's a team sport, individual sport. I need them to continue to play the way they've been playing as a team, which, when you look at, should have been 3 out of 4 in San Diego, should have or could have been a sweep in Arizona. My point is, they are playing very good baseball right now and maybe don't have a couple more wins to show it because of some late-inning meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's an individual thing in those specific cases. I want this team just to continue to do what they've been doing, and they will put themselves in position. You can't win 3 on one day. So here's what I want them to focus on. Go win tonight. That's it. Don't think about Sunday. We can do that. Yeah. I think all of us in here can say, got to go sweep them. But I don't want Francisco Lindor going to the ballpark tonight saying, we got to win tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. No, just win today.
Yeah, but I also don't want to step backwards against a team that shouldn't be on the same field.
All right, the Yankees lost one to them. I mean, I'm not saying
right, but the Yankees are in a different position. Like, the Yankees are going to the playoffs.
And if the Phillies sweep the Braves this weekend, the Mets take 2 out of 3, they'll be in good shape.
Fair.
I'm just saying, don't lose
but
your
I think
mind.
It means, I think it means something different for the Mets because of their level of inconsistency, right?
Sure,
like, if we're able to look at this team going into the Chicago series saying, all right, we won the last one, we sweep this series. Now it's not about just momentum. There's an air of confidence that should carry you into September because we know September is different for the Mets, scheduling, from a schedule standpoint. So I want to see them dominate. I want to see them sweep the floor with them. And then if you're a Mets fan, go, here, I talked about it yesterday, here we come.
Yep.
I want that type of momentum.
They have that opportunity. It's right in front of them, and I agree with you. As we are sitting here, the expectation is go win all three. I'm not. You're right. I just
and we can't have the mistakes. That's the thing. If you're the Mets right now, you can't have the inconsistencies from Diaz when the ball's in his hand, late, when it's time to wrap up the game. You want to see continue to see Pete Alonso show up in the big moments. You need Lindor to be that guy, as we talked about. All those things you want to continue to see. You can't move backwards against a bad team, because then it's like, all right, we damn if we do, we damn if we don't.
No doubt. All right, you Brescon a Met fan or no?
Yes, I am.
All right. So the level of optimism was way down the other day. So I'm going to ask you, I'll ask it this way, as opposed to how you feel right now. If they're within, let's just say, two games on Monday, will you raise your level of optimism on Monday or no?
Absolutely not.
Really? So you're really out on them?
Yeah, I am.
So you think
I've been consistent all year with this. Yes.
Wow. Mike?
I wasn't expecting that answer.
If they're within one game on Monday, man.
And I know, with a month to play, is 1-2 that big of a deal to you?
Because I don't think the Braves will lose to the bad teams on their schedule. So if it doesn't happen against the Phillies and the Dodgers, limited number of games, then it's not happening. And the Mets have to play out of their minds either way.
So if they're within two games going into the final week of the season, knowing they've got the Braves a few times, and I know their history with Atlanta at the end of the season is not good, but you'll just be checked out at that point?
I won't be checked. No, I'll be locked in, but optimistic. Like, realistically, if you're the Mets, you have to go into that series in Atlanta back by a game, because you win 2 out of 3, you would tie them and take the tiebreaker. How can I, as a Mets fan, have any confidence whatsoever that this group will go into Atlanta and do
it? It sounds like you've given up already, to be honest.
Like, we've seen, like, two games is nothing. Like, I don't even think four games is that big of a deal anymore from what we've seen. Hell, we saw the Mariners go from 10 up to 10 back.
It goes back to something you said the other day. If this was any other team, they were trailing by four games or three games.
You're using my words against me, you two jerks.
Totally. I mean, that's just...
Well, you know what? The worm's got to turn. I'll go with that. The same thing I'm saying with the Jets, I'll put in play for the Mets.
Optimistic Jerry.
I like people that, think yeah. I'm more optimistic than people would like to believe, especially the two dopes that sit here every day that think I'm doom and gloom, which is not true.
Right.
It's not true at all. I usually am more optimistic than most. I like the way this team has played.
They've showed a lot of resilience.
They've been fun. And this David Peterson, we haven't even mentioned him really. You know, not only has he been the stabilizing force for this, him and Manaea too. I think Manaea has been phenomenal. But he has been, every time you've needed David Peterson in the last month to go out there and pitch well, he has pitched well. And he had, I don't know if you saw it or not, but he had these snap throws to first where he picked off two guys.
I did see it. They actually had to review it. The first one,
the guy didn't even get back to first base.
The fact that he stood there and could just snap that thing to first base, I was just
what a move.
I was like, why don't more pitchers
not easy? I don't think it's easy. Well, I think
so.
I think for one, a lefty automatically has the advantage on the base runner, because once they lift their leg, if you don't hold your position, you better guess right, because they could come straight over. That snap throw, you do not see very often. It's been done before. I'm not saying it's anything new, but not many people can perfect it the way he has.
And you can see when he threw it, he knew it. He's like, I got him.
Oh, yeah.
The
second one is foolish. The second one was like Willie Mays Hayes in Major League. Come on. And then just tag him out, which was pretty good. So anyway, all is good with the Mets from yesterday. We'll see if they can go, as Willie says, dominate the White Sox starting tonight. Yes, 4-3. Right now they are three back with the Braves losing to the Phillies last night at Citizens Bank Ballpark in a game that I invited Al to go to. I was going to drive, and he opted not to.
And it would have been such an exciting, who knows if Al would have made it to the end.
Well, no, but
you guys wouldn't have talked to each other.
Wouldn't have needed the end, because the go-ahead home run was the sixth or seventh inning, I forget. It wasn't even like it was a game winner in the ninth where we would have been there all night. I would have even left in the eighth inning. It's the Phillies. What do I care?
Didn't you say you couldn't go anyway, though? You couldn't make it anyway?
I did, but I made plans after he was not into it.
Got it.
Originally,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I like Willie's point. If you guys sat there for, let's say, a 2.5-hour baseball game, how much conversing happens?
Not much. At a baseball game? There's less reason to converse at a baseball game than there is in the car. Right or wrong?
You guys have a brother-in-law relationship.
No, I love the guy.
I know. You love your brother-in-law.
And
he annoys you, so you don't talk to him as much.
I'm not saying we wouldn't talk, but I think there's a...
The fact that you have to question if we're going to talk and not going into it.
No, I didn't. They did.
I know, but I feel like anytime I just feel like the conversation should be natural.
I can tell you what the conversation would be.
Okay.
And this, and we would talk. There's no doubt we would talk about this. This would be Al. Look at that fat guy over there eating nachos. Does he know that's ultra-processed food he's eating? That's true. You know him, right
if,
or wrong.
If that's the conversation, then I would be like, yeah, we shouldn't be friends.
Oh, he'd be... Oh, no, it's okay.
Don't food judge anybody.
Oh, he food judges.
Is he a big food judge?
Well, yeah. Because he's... And you see him, he's in the best shape I've ever seen for a 55-year-old.
What is he, a raw vegan guy?
No. He's a clean food guy.
What's clean food? I don't think anything's clean.
No processed foods. Oh, nothing out of a box. No crap, no candy.
So if it's the end of the world, he's done.
He would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's got any, like, emergency food stashed away for
that. He's not eating pot roast out of a bag.
Or the Cheez-Its that can be, you know,
I love
dated
Cheez-Its.
For 5 years from now. Who doesn't?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big Cheez-It guy.
Quick timeout. Extra toasty. I like the original.
Really?
And the white cheddar. And don't tell me that's off.
It's a little stoic of you.
Why? Off the white cheddar ones?
Yeah. Doesn't scream excitement. White cheddar?
It's just a different flavor. I like the original first, and then I like the white cheddar ones.
Yeah.
Which I discovered in the vending machine here.
Really?
Yeah, the white cheddar ones.
Very pressed the good. Wrong button, it just came out?
No, I was like, well, they look cool.
Oh, you wanted it.
And they were very good, yeah.
Dangerous.
What about your nuts?
What about them?
Not. do you like the flavored nuts, like the bold ones, or are you just salted and that's it?
Spicy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would go with that too. Not too bad. Actually, I had some spicy nuts yesterday. All right, CeeLo coming up next. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, built for Tubbs Studio, fan and CBS Sports Network. What did I just do?
You didn't do anything.
CeeLo gave me the look like, okay.
Let's get to it.
Because Willie's got some questions for you.
Yeah.
Well, no, you walked in here, and I love this shirt, but I hate the bottoms.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure how did you come up with that combination?
Stand up. Let me see that bottom.
Sure.
Let me see
the bottoms. Is I have these are old, like, Nike navy blue baggy shorts.
Like sports shorts.
Right. And it's hard. You can't really see.
Stand on the chair.
I've got shorts. I'm not going to stand on the
chair.
Why
not stand on the chair?
I'll hold the chair.
Yeah, stand up.
Jesus.
I'm just.
Don't fall.
Take my headphones out.
See, the striped shirt short combo looks like you're cleaning your garage. You know what I mean? Or you were in a house fire.
This is the tallest I've ever been.
This is
what it feels like to be an NBA basketball player.
And, this is me and Dylan Harper.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, I know Jerry probably, he's like, oh, you know, easy. It's a cool Friday fit. You know, my fit is not nothing outstanding, but it, the shorts and the American flag, yeah, it yeah. seems.
All right, I'll lay it out for you. Ready?
Okay.
The American flag shirt I like to wear a couple times during the summer when I work here in the morning on TV, usually starting with Memorial Day, July 4th weekend, all the way through Labor Day
So
weekend.
This is a thought-out process.
The shirt, yeah. Now, it was a little on the chillier side this morning. I contemplated going like sweatpants or jeans.
Sweatpants.
Yeah. Dude, it was like 65 degrees
no,
and raining this morning.
I know. I laugh when I see people walking around here in sweatpants.
Well, we wear shorts. Like, okay.
I don't, but
Willie doesn't know the whole back. I've seen you wear shorts in here a couple
Only
times.
Only like yesterday when I go to play golf. Okay, otherwise, I wear pants.
But golf shorts are different.
Sure.
There's agreed. A purpose.
Yes.
You're not about to run you're not about to play a 3-on-3.
But I've always been. That's how I grew up. Okay. I'm not a big dress up guy. Like, to put jeans on is like annoying for me, whereas our guy Al Dukes,
jeans is dressing up.
No, not dressing up, but it's just like I when I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning,
and
like,
see, look, I'm
I
not a fashionista, like, you know? I'm not the editor of GQ, yeah, so yeah. I don't want to throw
cool.
too many rocks.
Now when our former program director Mark Chernoff had a very strict rule about no shorts, and after he
I
retired,
kind of agree after watching you walk
that's
in here.
that's fine yeah. And I've got big legs, I got thick calves. It's not the best look. I admit that. That's fine.
No, I don't care about the legs.
Comfortable in my own skin.
It just, your outfit screams distress.
Yeah.
Like, what are you distressed about?
No, I'm not. It's just,
he said,
I mean,
house fire.
House fire?
That would be distressing.
Thankfully, as far as I know, my house is not on fire, but nobody's there since I left, so it could be, and I wouldn't know.
Wait, you've been home alone all week?
Most of the week. It's been a little back and forth. My wife, my in-laws have a house for the week in Ocean City. She did bring my oldest back multiple times for football practice.
Oh,
about
okay.
the dedication, the commitment. She's been driving him back and forth. We hit the practice field last night.
Way to go, Mom.
And then they went back down. I met her halfway. I drove him down the parkway about halfway, got back home. So, yeah, I've mostly had the house to myself.
Are you a slob when the wife is away?
No, I'm a very neat, organized person.
Oh, good for you, Slob.
Yeah. You know why? Because my kids are, it's like a tornado. So when they're out of the house, I like to keep things
you like order.
Up nice. Yeah,
good
exactly.
For you.
Exactly.
Single
so this is sort of my last chance probably to wear the shorts, which used to be banned around here, but after Mark Chernoff left, our
Spike didn't care.
Not even Spike, the architect. Olivero came in one day and was like, "You know what? It's radio in the summer.
No,
you guys
want to
wear shorts,
that's
you wear
nice.
Shorts."
Yeah.
So once I got the okay from the big boss,
yeah, I mean,
you know, that's how we go.
Just like you just finished yard work. So I didn't
I got some yard work to do probably later today. So I'm getting out ahead of it. You
love
know?
You, CeeLo.
Yeah.
I do like, though, it's the old look of the old TV anchor myth or thought that they would have their boxer shorts on underneath the table.
I think some did.
Not, well, yeah, clearly. Mm-hmm. You're not far off, but not terrible.
Would you pull it? Did you pull it off? The blazer up top and,
sure.
You know.
I've well, you'd never
happy
know.
Happy hour at the bottom.
I got news for you. You know, when I do the nighttime stuff
he's
on SNY,
nude.
When the Mets are on the West Coast and we do the Zoom hits,
yeah.
that's pretty much what's going on.
Well, that's when you're home.
Well, same right. concept.
You're not in boxer shorts in the studio.
Yeah, that's true.
You're home.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I could walk into the set at SNY rocking the boxer shorts with the shirt and tie and the blazer up
like
top.
You, and I was joking when I say it, but theoretically, when you're home on Zoom, you could be naked underneath.
Sure.
Well,
you
I was
going to
ask you, while you're at home, did you ever bare ass it?
On the Zoom?
Yeah, on the Zoom.
No. There's always some sort of material from
the
waist
leather,
down.
You pressing the cheeks against the hard leather as you give it a play-by-play.
Oh, man. No, I haven't done that. Because
if you ever ripped ass, it's going to sound like a fire. It's going to sound like a rocket went off.
See, that's the risk you take.
At least the underwear and the pants kind of block it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little.
You've got some cushion there, a little bit of support.
Because if you're on air bare ass, it's going to sound like a bottle rocket.
Right. And you got to play it off like it's something
Buzz
else.
Butt sweat.
Oh.
Right to the leather chair. Then someone else sits on that chair and you know that your butt sweat was on the chair.
Yeah, and they know it too.
Oh, it's terrible.
Not what you want.
Not what they want.
Not
you might want it depending
wants.
On who sits on that chair.
Now I'm going to go to question every time I see you. I'm going to see if there's a party down low or you close shop. I'm going to see.
At least this year, you know, I'm kind of a standout. I don't like to bother people. So, you know, we know each other a little bit now. So now when we cross paths, when you're doing Jets post game this year at SNY, I can say hello.
And I
won't be a stranger.
You could have said hello before.
Of course, it's not a reflection on you.
How many
I'm not
times have you
were unapproachable? Or
how
anything.
Many times have you been there when he's been there and you have
couple
refused
times.
To
Probably
introduce
like
yourself?
Four or five. Yeah,
really?
But when you say refuse to introduce yourself, like, you know, you guys are focused. You're watching the game. You're talking.
We're not focused at all.
Yeah, you are.
Man, we're focused to the degree of like we know what's going on. But yeah. me and Bart are usually arguing.
But you
at
worked
halftime.
With Bart, didn't you?
What do you mean by worked
when
with?
He was here?
A little bit. I don't know that he'd remember me.
Oh, okay.
I have a very low opinion of myself, Jerry. I just assume that
well,
people don't remember who
all.
I am, you know? So
I think you have to explain that side.
All right, well, what do you got? Take it away.
All right. On that note, brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. A collective exhale for the Mets yesterday in Arizona. They did find a way to win a tight, low-scoring rubber game against the Diamondbacks.
The 0-1. Hit hard up the middle. Perdomo slides. It's off his glove. Into center. Tyrone Taylor scores. Iglesias does it again. RBI single up the middle. And in the ninth, the Mets take a 3-2 lead.
That's Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Iglesias in the dugout all sorts of fired up. And Edwin Diaz that went out and shut the door with a clean save in the bottom half. Couple of strikeouts, 17 of his 18 pitches, fastballs, and he blew quite a few by the Arizona hitters. Good confidence builder off of Wednesday's mess, cleaned up some mechanical issues between appearances.
Yeah, yes, I was coming up and tried to go to third base and then put myself to home plate, so my arm was a little bit longer than today. Today was more to home plate.
So there you go. He figured it out, at least for one appearance. It worked. Here was Iglesias, another big impactful hit for him late in this one.
Just continue to compete, continue to keep my best half for every single bat for this great team that we had, and you know, I was able to come through, and just very happy and very humble about it.
That's courtesy of SNY.
He has been great.
I mean, I know the batting average has come down from where it was early in the year. He's never going to hit 400, but considering this guy wasn't in the big leagues
amazing,
last year,
isn't it?
He's had an excellent season.
Yeah.
Also, home runs for Alonso and Lindor. The latter tied the game in the fifth. And David Peterson, 7 innings of 2-run ball. Only 88 pitches, too. Pretty efficient considering he gave up 7 hits and walked a couple. So he's come on very strong. And the Mets find a way. So they go 6-4 through the 10 games against Baltimore, San Diego, and Arizona. Now off to Chicago to face the lowly White Sox. You got Tyler McGill on the mound tonight for an 8-10 first pitch. The Mets are 3 back in the wild card race. Says the Braves and the Padres both lost on Thursday. Atlanta blowing a lead down in Philadelphia.
Fly ball, center field, pretty well hit. Harris going back, scampering back to the wall. It's gone! Into the trees! The Phillies have taken the lead on a center field home run by Nick Castellanos.
That's Tom McCarthy, NBC Sports Philly.
And think about when you look at other stadiums around the league. We've referenced Baltimore a lot and how they are not selling tickets. It certainly doesn't look like it. This place is, and I hate to say
it's like a playoff game.
God, that place is like amazing, the atmosphere.
Rocking, gorgeous
really
park.
Is. And that's not even their top sport in Philadelphia. It's probably, what would you say?
That's a great point, Jer.
I mean, football
you're 100%
king.
Right. Football is God there, and that place looks like, you know.
I mean, even with the way how good the Sixers have been, I would say it's probably 2 and 2A between the Sixers and the Phillies. And now, when I was a kid, I think the Flyers might have been 2. The Flyers are now 4, and they haven't been good. But those two, it's just amazing the way they support them. And I look good on them, too, when they're not playing well. But that atmosphere in that stadium is awesome.
Well, they win it 5-4 in that one opener of a 4-game series. Meantime, the Dodgers beat the Orioles 6-3 in L.A., so the Yankees will begin play tonight in their interleague series against the Cardinals with a 2-game lead over Baltimore on the loss side. Atop the American League East, Marcus Stroman, Eric Fetty, the starters. We get pregame at 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Unfortunately, I do have to break in with this news, that rumor that we talked about.
Don't tell me it's true.
It is true, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
Johnny Gaudreau of the Columbus Blue Jackets, formerly of the Calgary Flames, a New Jersey native. He and his brother did pass away in a tragic accident last night down in New Jersey. So that's confirmed now by the Columbus Blue Jackets, who released a statement on the passing of Johnny and his brother Matthew.
Jeez, how old was he?
I would say probably 28? Late 20s, early 30s.
I'm not that it matters. I'm just, God almighty.
31, Fleeks. Yeah.
And what about his brother?
That I don't know. This is all just coming out again. I saw the rumors on social media through the night, and you were hoping that it was just
bad
information.
When you mentioned it to me, I looked it up too, and it was from sites that...
Yeah, it was spotty. It was spotty.
And there was even one that wrote that it's a supposed rumor, let's not get crazy.
Right.
And I thought, it's probably something someone made up.
Yeah,
that's awful.
There was some traction and kind of some stuff out there that started to spread, and it seemed like the longer it went and there was no one reputable shooting it down, whether it be the NHL, the Blue Jackets themselves, the family. So, again, we'll get further details on what exactly went down and what happened. But tragic story and sad news to pass along.
Yep.
We did Joe Douglas and the Hassan Reddick situation with the Jets last hour. This hour will hit you with a little bit of positivity, at least as far as the Jets are concerned. Mike Williams is ready to go, recovered from a torn ACL, and will be active for Robert Saleh week one against the Niners.
We're going to be very smart with how we use him, but he's going to be plenty available to make his mark felt.
Williams catching up in terms of practice time with Aaron Rodgers in the offense, but he thinks it's going to be a dangerous group.
It's going to be crazy. Aaron, he's hitting all cylinders right now. Him and G, everybody else is making a lot of plays against, you know, the defense that we have. So I feel like when it comes Sunday, it's going to make it a lot easier for everybody.
And think about someone we have not discussed and the impact. If he's healthy, it's almost as if we talk about Garrett Wilson. If this guy is healthy, I mean, this offense should be, I mean, crazy good.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think the one caveat to having Mike Williams, and I agree, when it was him and Keenan Allen separating each other, they were a nasty deal. Just because of their height and their range, what they're able to do, especially over bigger cornerbacks. What I loved about the Jets is now they kept Jason Brom, who they drafted. He's going to be a great security blanket for them because I think he's going to emerge as a legit guy. And I hope Mike Williams stays healthy, but just in case things go left, they don't skip a beat. They got a kid who's hungry, ready, and is primed in the position. So I think the Jets couldn't put up a lot of numbers. It's all about health. It's about they stay healthy. Sky's the limit for this offense.
So they got Williams available, and the 49ers should have Brandon Ayuk available now that he's agreed to this four-year, $120 million extension, $76 million guaranteed.
Between Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb, I swear to God, if these two guys go out and look like they didn't miss a beat and miss training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if more guys just hold
camp,
out because they just don't want to do it.
Right, exactly. Man. Fair point. Let's get to this before I run out of time. This, I'll call it a juicy appearance by Mark Cuban on the Roommate Show with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and the like. So I would say part of this seemed cordial and friendly, or for the most part.
Oh, I thought it was beyond friendly. Okay. It seemed like they were – I watched. So Cuban, just to that point, stayed on for an hour and 25 minutes. Okay. This wasn't we do a podcast or a show and he's coming on for 15 minutes. He did
basically the whole show.
I think he did the full hour 25. Mm. And there was, I think, if I know what you're going to play, there was this little moment in time where they clearly had a differing of opinion.
A little uncomfortable. Yeah.
A little. But the rest of it, though, I mean, it was like they were best buddies.
Right.
So, no,
right.
it was fine.
Okay. So the part we're talking about, which is getting some attention, is regarding the end of Brunson's time with the Mavericks and that negotiation, which, if you remember, was coming off the monster postseason when Luka Doncic was hurt.
Yep.
Brunson had the great postseason. He ends up with the Knicks. So a little icy. Here was Cuban at the start, I think, trying to keep it positive. I'm not going to take the high road, but trying to, you know, dress it up a little bit and avoid some of that uncomfortable stuff.
I honestly thought it would work out. I really, really, really did. But it didn't, and that's okay. You know, all's well that ends well. I'm happy for you, the king of New York, and I'm happy for us. You know, it is what it is. That's the NBA.
Yeah.
And then there's like this pause where Brunson's collecting his thoughts and maybe deciding, like, am I going to go there or am I not? And ultimately, he did share what he was thinking.
The only thing that I didn't like about the whole situation was when Mark said, when the parents got involved, that's when things got messy. So that was the one thing I was like, I kind of was like, damn, that was a little jab.
And obviously we know about Rick now and the Knicks staff and the time with the Knicks. So longer clip here as Cuban responded, and then they had a little bit of a back and forth.
But it wasn't really. No, I didn't want to go there here, right? It wasn't a jab at all. I mean, there's no reason for us to talk about any of that stuff, but it wasn't just a jab, JB, for real.
I know. I'm just saying. Well, that's when I heard that. That's what maybe I felt a little certain way, but I got over it. Obviously, that's my parents. Yeah. So,
and I apologize. I think put you in a certain way. That wasn't the intention, but it was hard to deal with. It was unique. It was a unique negotiation in a lot of different ways.
And then Brunson talked about, at least from like a money and roster standpoint, it reminded him of Isaiah Hartenstein with the Knicks. So not so much about the jab at the parents, but they kind of circled it back then to the business side of it. And then Cuban eventually, again, making it like, hey, it's all positive, rosy, all good, nothing but good things to say.
Literally, I'm happy for it. I mean, like, when you got married, like, we still keep in touch. I'm always sending you congrats and this and that.
Yeah.
So, there's definitely no hard feelings at all. But it's always interesting when your dad and I walk by each other. You know, it's just like he gives me the eye, I give him the eye, but then we smile and then keep on walking, right? And so, all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Cuban came across as like in that sequence a little jumpy, almost like it was uncomfortable for him to talk about this on this appearance.
So we'll do this on the other side, Willie. But briefly, Cuban to me, and I could be reading it wrong, seems pissed off. That's how I.
That Jalen brought get, up the. Yeah, he even said I didn't want to get into
all
it
of
here.
It. And we'll, you know, we'll get into it on the other side because there's more to it, and there was a lot more, and those were good clips. There's a couple more though in terms of the way it was negotiated and wasn't.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. Good job. We'll see you next hour. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, great to have you with us. Labor Day weekend, final summer, unofficial summer Friday of 2024, moving into a football Friday. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Bill Ford Tough Studio. So great timing because I wanted to talk about this Jalen Brunson thing anyway, and CeeLo played a couple of those clips. Here's what I took from it, and then I feel like it's been a theme with us the last few days, but I'm going to come back to the agent again. So see, you could hear the uncomfortableness between Cuban and Jalen Brunson. Now, the other clips that CeeLo didn't play, which you can't play them all, it's way too, it was a very long exchange, was, so Brunson brings up the whole, the parents got in the way thing. That goes back to last year when he signed the deal with the Knicks, I believe it was. Those comments I'm saying go back to, I think, last February or something, whenever Cuban spoke about it. And so clearly Jalen wanted to get something off his chest. Watching that, Cuban seemed, while I thought he was great in the beginning and great after this, seemed annoyed with the way the negotiation went down. Because what Chris didn't play was Cuban saying, we kept talking to the agent and we made him an offer. The agent said, not enough. And they said, fine, what's the number? And never heard back.
Mm.
Now, Jalen Brunson is saying that you guys kind of went silent on me. And so I signed with the Knicks because they gave me a great deal. Everybody and their brother knows that Rick Brunson being hired by the Knicks was part of this, even if they are going to say it. We're not stupid.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's truth in all of this, but I guess to me would be, was there a miscommunication between the Mavericks, Brunson's agent, and Brunson? Because Cuban was very clear. They were never, ever called back after they made an initial offer. It was radio silence.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you talk about Jalen, you know, I know when Brunson was at the Mavs, he was unhappy with Rick Carlisle at the time. And I think it's a lot of that happened because how he was handled in the playoffs. On top of that, I thought that was a sour note for him. On top of that, the number wasn't right. And then to your point, the player never really knows. I'm trusting the agent to do the job. Yep. I'm trusting Mark Cuban to make it right. That's the discourse. And on top of that, I do think Brunson ultimately wanted to be here. He's a local. He's a Jersey guy. His father's a Jersey guy. Father played at Temple. He played at Villanova. So I thought there was – I don't think Brunson takes enough responsibility of saying that part, of saying like, you know, yeah, I love the Mavs, but I wanted to go home. I wanted to play in a bigger market where I'm familiar with and I could be the guy. Now the discourse between the parents, I think that's more dad-Cuban thing. They know each other. Brunson, Brunson Senior played in the league, coached Chicago, Minnesota, Denver Nuggets. So I think there was a personal relationship between there. Because at the end of the day, if me and you go to work together, right, and my son is playing on your team, and you're like, listen, let's put Junior aside. We're friends. Make it work. Mm-hmm. Like you're trusting on the relationship that we have that this is going to ultimately go to work out. We don't have to get to the paper. We don't have to make it. And I think that's what spoiled it, because I think behind the curtain, Mark knows Rick on a personal level.
Right.
And so he's like, listen, let's make it work. Like, well, I want you here. We've known each other for a number of years. Let's just make it work. And it didn't work. So Cuban's like, oh, so maybe we weren't as tight as I thought.
I'm using the word angry. Maybe hurt is the right word. Like the facial expressions, that's why the audio is great. But if you watch it, even Brunson seemed uncomfortable asking the question and bringing it up, but clearly it was something that he wanted to say and wanted Cuban to know that he was annoyed as well by the things he said, when in fact Brunson, it seemed to me, watching both of them, that they had a much different idea of how things went down.
Right, and for Cuban, it's cool now because you think about it. When Brunson left, they didn't make the playoffs, right? It wasn't until they acquired Kyrie Irving, obviously they went to the finals this year. So that's why Cuban's like, well, we got our guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if Kyrie Irving doesn't land to the Mavericks, I don't know if that interview happens. I think it's,
it might not.
I think it's still some hostility on Cuban's part. I think he's sour about it solely because he thought there was a, maybe a deeper relationship between dad and him and damn sure Brunson and him. So now that is kind of water underneath the bridge. Cuban can now, from a standpoint, he was like, well, we went to the finals without you. You know, maybe there should have been some dialogue that we should have had, just didn't happen.
And
you're obviously good on your side. I'm good on my side. We're good.
And it's hard to argue with that. Like when he says, I'm glad you're happy, we're happy. And even I think Josh Hart, I think it was Josh Hart, chimed in and said, well, I mean, you guys did go to the, maybe it was in Brunson.
Yeah.
You guys did go to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So it did work out in the end. But how you got there is probably not what they anticipated.
Especially, you know, from Cuban's standpoint, when Luka getting hurt, he took over that, that series. You know, he took over that team. He was the guy.
Where he became a star.
100%. So I think for Cubans, like, I let a star walk out of there, walk out of this building feeling like I had a guy who's going to be a part of the, because a part of the organization for a long time, and I got a guy who's going to carry the brand and really give this locker room the uplift it needs. That didn't happen. So, but it worked out. I do think I would have loved to hear Rick Brunson Sr.'s side of it. You know, how much.
I don't know that he's ever talked about it. I don't know. He might have.
He probably won't.
He probably shouldn't, too.
He probably shouldn't to kind of protect everybody at the table. But overall, I think whatever for Mark to say that or for Brunson to say that, there had to have been more dialogue that we just don't know about.
What also is interesting in terms of the money that he got from the Knicks, if you remember when the Knicks got him, everyone was expecting him to come here. And I think everybody was excited that he was going to be a really good piece and a really good player.
We didn't know about him, too.
Everyone thought the Knicks overpaid for
him. Correct.
Not underpaid, as it turned out. So then the question would be, all right, Cuban and the Mavericks put out an offer. What was it? Did it even rival what the Knicks gave? Were they going to overpay? I think they could have given him the max at that point. It sound, again, just sounded, watching it and listening to it, that they probably didn't go to the max, but probably gave him a really nice offer. Well, the Knicks came in pretty hot, and the overall thought was they got their guy, but damn, they paid too much.
Yeah, but
it turned out to be wrong.
It turned out to be wrong, but I also think from Brunson's standpoint, when you see a guy take a pay cut, and meaning, you know, not get the bag into the extent that most people feel like he deserved, I think that speaks volumes to the new culture in New York. Like, I feel like even though they feel like he overpaid, but really not, because of the makeup of the guy, and he's local, and I think it's all worked out for the New York
and Knicks. The makeup of the guy, meaning Brunson, could be another reason why Cuban is sitting here saying, you had, I mean, not only is a great basketball player, it's kind of what I was talking about with Dak Prescott last hour, not only is Jalen Brunson a great basketball player, that's who you want to be the face of your franchise. And I'm not saying Luka's not. I mean,
if you give a guy a max deal, you need him to be an ambassador.
Yeah.
And Brunson has worn that with pride.
And loves it.
And loves it. And embraces it. So I don't think the New York has had that type of, outside of Jeter, to kind of have that type of esteem and to be held in the public. Like, you know, if this guy can potentially run for mayor, he's going to get some votes.
He might be. I mean, I'd have to think about it. Maybe people would say Eli, but he might be the most humble superstar we've had in New York in a long time.
Without a doubt.
I mean, Eli was an aw shucks, you know, just happy to be here and then performed in the big games, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But Brunson, to me, is like another level of, he almost seems embarrassed. Like when Hart called him the captain when they were talking with Cuban, he almost looks embarrassed by it.
Correct.
By the success. And when they talk about his contract, he's always like, stop talking. Just stop talking.
Well, I think for him, his makeup is all ball. He understands he plays on Broadway. He understands the lights and the microscope he's under. But for him, what makes him comfortable is him just going to work. Like, some guys don't mind mixing the batter to make the donuts. Right? They don't need to be in front of the store. They're okay with being the guy who, the reason why the donuts are great, because there's a master at work behind the curtain. So, yeah, I think he's that type of guy.
He is the master. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, Lucy Burch from Odyssey Sports, BetQL. We're going to talk some NFL numbers and betting options for this upcoming 2024 season. Also, since I don't think I'm going to see you for a while.
Don't say that, Jerry. I miss you already.
Well, we'll see. Rip from the headlines, Willie Colon style, coming up next hour as well. We'll get back to the calls, too, and the Mets, the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants, and all that stuff. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.